Members, good afternoon and welcome. Even though it doesn't appear that we have a lot of people here, we officially have a quorum, so we are going to get started. Representative Kreisha, did you have a chance to look over the minutes? Thank you.
Representative
Kreisha moves approval of the minutes. Anybody have any questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Thank you. With that, we will jump right into it. Representative Hillstrom, welcome. I will move House File 368, and with that, it is properly before us. Start whenever you're ready and tell us why you're here and what we should do with this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 368 is additions to the definition of a collections agency. Members, I've been carrying some debt buyer provisions for a number of years, and this is just an additional loophole that we want to close. I have someone here from the Attorney General's office to testify in favor of the bill and to kind of talk about the lawsuits that they've seen and the issues that there have been. And so, Mr. Chair, if that's okay, I would like to turn it over.
Absolutely. Sir, identify yourself for the record and please proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chair, Representatives Dave Cullen with the Minnesota Attorney General's office, here in support of House File 368 and the amendment to the Collection Agencies Act. This amendment would clarify that the Collection Agencies Act applies to debt buyers in addition to third-party collectors. Debt buyers purchase portfolios of debt, often containing thousands of old charged-off consumer debts, such as credit card debt or telecommunication debt. Debt buyers generally purchase debt portfolios at deep discounts off the face value of the alleged debts, sometimes for as little as 1 or 2 cents on the dollar. Debt buyers seek return on their investment in such portfolios by attempting to collect on the alleged debts from consumers, sometimes with little or no supporting documentation that a particular debt is owed by a particular consumer and the amount claimed. In fact, debt buyers often do not receive account statements or contracts with the purchase of a debt portfolio. Rather, they often receive nothing more than an electronic spreadsheet containing limited and sometimes outdated or incorrect information about the alleged debts, such as the name, last known address, and account numbers of the alleged debtors. Indeed, debt purchase agreements often contain provisions stating that the account information in the portfolios may or may not be accurate, and disclaiming any representations or warranties about the accuracy of the account information. And debt portfolios may be bought and sold several times over, going from the original creditor to a debt buyer, who in turn may resell the portfolio to another debt buyer, and so on, sometimes falling into the hands of some unscrupulous actors. This amendment to the Collection Agencies Act is important because debt buyers engage in the same practices as third-party debt collectors and ought to be regulated like third-party debt collectors. For example, debt buyers, like third-party collectors, send collection letters and place collection calls to consumers. Debt buyers report alleged debts to credit bureaus. Debt buyers bring collection lawsuits against consumers. Debt buyers garnish consumers' wages and funds in their bank accounts. Also, like third-party debt collectors, debt buyers have no ongoing customer relationship with the alleged debtors that would otherwise exist between consumers and original creditors, such as banks or telecommunication companies. A number of enforcement actions by the Attorney General's office against debt buyers illustrate the need for the amendment to the Collection Agencies Act to explicitly apply to debt buyers in order to address abusive collection activity by debt buyers. I'll briefly summarize three such enforcement actions. First, in 2011, the Attorney General's office filed a lawsuit against a debt buyer called Midland Funding, alleging that the debt buyer pursued individual defendants in court using robo-signed affidavits in which employees of the debt buyer certified that a person owed an alleged debt, even though the employees had no personal knowledge of this and signed hundreds of affidavits in a single sitting without reviewing account information or even reading the affidavits. The settlement in that case required Midland to change its business practices. Second, in 2013, the Attorney General's office filed a lawsuit against a debt buyer called United Credit Recovery, alleging that it mass-generated false computer affidavits swearing to the veracity of alleged debts and made to appear as though the affidavits were signed by bank officials when in fact they were not. The district court entered an order in that case prohibiting the debt buyer from using these affidavits. Finally, in 2014, the Attorney General's office filed a lawsuit against a debt buyer called Bradstreet & Associates, alleging, among other things, that the debt buyer obtained court judgments against consumers containing unlawful and usurious rates of interest. The office obtained a court order in that case vacating over 2,000 such judgments and closing over 20,000 collection files. In closing, the amendment to the Collection Agencies Act will further address debt buyers' abusive collection activity by explicitly indicating that debt buyers, like third-party debt collectors, are governed by the Act and are subject to enforcement and oversight under the Act.
Thank you. Members, any questions? And members, in your packet, there is an amendment to this. It was an author's amendment. We did not do that to get the shape, the bill in the shape the author wanted, because it's already in the shape she wanted. It was her amendment, and she elected to not offer it. So is there anyone else in the audience that would like to come down and speak for or against this bill? One question, Representative Hillstrom. Is anybody opposed to this?
Mr. Chair, because I'm not offering the amendment, I believe that I have not heard from anyone that's opposed.
Well said. Members, seeing no other questions, I will renew my motion that House File 368 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Hortman, will you come on down and get ready? Members, a general committee question while we're waiting. Have we killed a bill yet this year?
Are you saying that because I didn't forget to read?
We just assumed they were out in the hall. Oh, man. Representative Hortman, welcome to the committee. I will move House File 385. And are we sending this to civil law?
Mr. Chair, I think we should send it right to the General Register, but the Chair of Civil Law could certainly take a look at it if she would like to.
Representative Scott, why don't you ponder this while we're, if you want to see it, we're happy to send it there. Otherwise, we're going to go right to the General Register, so we'll kind of leave that motion open for right now. And with that, Representative Hortman, welcome, and tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the co-authors of this bill are the two smartest legislators in the legislature.
That's what I keep telling everybody.
See, now I just torpedoed my own bill. I would like to thank the chair of the committee for co-authoring the bill with me. House File 385 is technical corrections to Minnesota's revised Limited Liability Corporations Act. Last year, we passed unanimously revisions to Minnesota's Limited Liability Corporation Act. What was happening is a lot of companies were choosing to incorporate in other jurisdictions that were more beneficial to corporations. And we decided to go with the new Uniform Law Commission draft that would put Minnesota back into the competition for getting corporations to incorporate here. It passed unanimously with a delayed effective date. And the effective date is August 1st of 2015. What the business law section of the Bar Association figured out after we passed the bill is that there needed to be some conforming changes in other areas of state law to make all of the business statutes work well together. The business law lawyers sat down and worked on this project since we adjourned in 2014 until now, and they have drafted this measure that they say makes all of Minnesota's business law statutes work better together. And so, members, there are no opponents, and the state bar business section is in favor.
Well said, concise, and to the point. Thank you, Representative Hortman. Members, any questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hortman, is the $60 filing fee, is that new? And then does that go to the general fund or does that go to the Secretary of State?
Representative Hortman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I do not believe there are any new fees in the bill. It would just simply be restating existing law.
Other questions, members? Anybody in the audience that wants to come down and testify for or against this controversial piece of legislation? Seeing none. With that, members, I will renew. Representative Scott, Chair Scott, did you take a look at this? Do you want this to go to civil law, or should we send it right to the General Register?
I'll pass.
Thank you. Representative Scott passes. With that, I will renew my motion that House File 385 be re-referred to the General Register. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Hortman. Nice work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I hope all your bills are this exciting.
Actually, they are. It's that's what kind of committee we have down here. Thank you. And with that, members, unless anyone has anything else, we are adjourned.